When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
He kōna I purangi tēnei nā te reo irirangi o Aotearoa.
The following podcast has some fruity language. Sorry, my bad. So take care of who's listening around you.
Kia ora e te whānau. Welcome back to It's Personal with me, Anika Moa. This is a podcast where I get personal with interesting and incredible people. Lots of laughs, lots of tears, inside tears because I don't cry. Camera.
Culturally, our wairua returns to hawaikinui, right? Since being in the industry, I feel that their presence is still with us. And it's beautiful when you can feel that.
It doesn't get much more personal than the topic we're going to delve into today, death and grieving and the tikanga Māori way. To help with this, we've got the fabulous Kai Ora Tipene from Tipene Funerals, half of the Casketeers duo. Che, my sis.
And I'm always... At the end of it, I'm always crying, having a big tonguey.
Oh, hey. Beautiful. It's a space where... It's funny you say that. Even when I watch it, I start to cry as well. I'm like, oh, I remember that moment. I start crying. And then just like that, they've got this funny scene of either Francis is growling somebody or I'm growling him and I'm crying still, but then all of a sudden I'm laughing. I've got some tears and some laughter at the same time.
But isn't it the Māori way? Like, because I've been to heaps of tangi where it's just... People are 1 minute wailing like to their tipuna and next minute making real hard out jokes about people.
Oh, all the time.
And it's especially the person who's deceased. It's like sometimes they actually take the piss. Hey.
See, and that's a beautiful thing about being Māori, I guess, or going back home to the marae. You see it all happen and everyone's been so expressive. You see them... throwing debates at one another.
Then
te reo Māori and just out of nowhere they're popping jokes at one another.
Yeah, yeah. So and then they're hiding their beers in the outside the wharekai.
And that too. Yeah, yes, yeah. We have a little go-to at the back later. So it's amazing.
Oh, my feet stink, sorry. Well, thank you for joining me, Kai Ora. You are an incredible wahine toa, and I'm so glad that you chose to do this because I'm so sorry about my feet. Can you smell them?
No.
Oh, sorry. I've always wanted to ask you so many questions about death, about how do you get into the funeral business? But first of all, your last episode of The Casketeers aired. How did that feel in that moment for you?
When we realised that that was the final episode... The finale for the Casketeers, there was so much that came back to me, you know, how did we get here? How did it all begin? And I'm always thinking of those whānau, the grieving whānau that we cared for, who shared their journey with us, the kaimahi of Tipene Funerals, and also with the show.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just blessed that they were willing to share those vulnerable moments with the motu and also with the world.
It was brave for all these people, all these whanaunga, because if it was a whānau member of mine, I would not be sure if I wanted to share the grief and the devastation with Aotearoa. You know, I'd be a little bit, not sure about that. But they gave a lot. They were so brave and wonderful.
Yes, there's Even when we were asked if a camera could follow us, my husband was, he disagreed with the whole thing in the beginning.
So, that's a shock.
Why, no way, because he
says,
yeah, well, that's right, and it was all him in the end.
So, hooray.
It's hard to believe when I do tell everybody, so, no, he didn't want it, but oh, are you sure about that, Ewa?
Yeah.
So it took him a while to come round to accepting that, look, if we're going to... What we noticed in that time was a lot of social media was evolving, you know, mm-hmm. and whānau were sharing certain moments of a huimate. Mm. And so if we knew that if we were going to do this, we had to do this our way. And we had to show them how we manaaki our tūpapaku. So it's definitely something that we were a little bit iffy about at first, but we had to trust those who created that format to ensure that the loved ones were always dignified.
Yeah.
And whānau were always, you know, still having their moment with their loved one.
Who did someone approach you? Like, were you new in the funeral industry? Or I mean, how did it even happen? Who comes up with an idea about doing a TV show about the journey of someone who has passed away with some... funny Māori people?
Oh, it's so funny you ask that. Look, I have a darling friend in the TV industry, and her name is Annabelle Lee Mather.
She's amazing.
and look, I believe at the time she was a producer for many shows. Mm. So when she messaged me one evening, her and I were having a good kōrero, and then just randomly she goes, "Hey, how about I send the camera crew and we follow you?" And I'm like, oh, what does that look like? And she laughs. She goes, what do you mean, what does it look like? We just follow you with the camera. I'm like, okay. So I went ahead and said yes without even asking my husband.
Yeah.
Right? And she's like, okay, babes, we're going to do this and that at this time. And I'm squeezing my head going, oh, how am I going to tell him? So I eventually obviously had to tell him, but he put it on hold for a while.
Yeah.
But that's how it came about, was just having a kōrero with the wonderful Annabelle Lee Mather, and then she just put it out there for us.
Next minute.
Yeah.
You guys are on TV every week. And
well, I look back now and when I used to get asked, say, you're in this room with people and that you're sitting with a new group of people introducing yourselves, you know, I'm a lawyer, I'm a doctor, I'm a aharane, and then you come around to yourself and you say, well, I'm a funeral director, and then you're like, oh, okay. So, but at the time, back then, people did kind of look at you like, oh, should we move over a little bit or something?
Like it's a weird profession? Or it's like a tapu? Awkward?
I would say there was always some type of awkwardness there when you did inform people of your profession. And I mean, look, it's not your everyday conversation, right?
Yeah.
You say, hi, everybody, yes, I'm a funeral director, how's it going? But no, I mean, I like to believe now, over time, since the show has aired, it's brought demystified the connotations around funerals or even the term death or even just when we say those morbid words, people have come up to me and said, look, I just want to thank you for what you do. You've helped me through my grief. Mm-hmm. I can now talk openly with my whānau about what I want for my tangi. And you know, I'm so grateful and I'm blessed when people are able to share that with me. So yeah, I hope that the show has touched people in that way.
I think it has.
Yeah.
Let's go back to the start. So you're a Northland girl, like me. So yeah. Francis is from Pauranga.
Yes.
Where I'm from.
Yes.
Pauranga Hard.
The Moors.
Yeah. Do you know any Moor up there?
I think, wasn't it...
Are they all in jail? So mostly, yeah, no offence, oh, more fun, no.
There we go. You said it.
Yeah, no.
I think, like, there's the moor whare where Francis's nan lives, just towards the beach there, yep, in Pōringa. And every time we get, well, just as we get around the corner to his nan's house, before that corner is the moor whare. So that's how I know that's the moor whānau.
Is it the moor whare, because there was Marian Moore and then my dad, my granddad, Tautora, Tautoru Moa, and yes, it's right on the bend, yes, just before our Uruparan and Marae.
Yes, is that your whare?
That's where I grew up.
Ka whai.
That's where I spent my summer holidays, and, you know, long drops. From Christchurch to Long Drops. Dogs everywhere, horses everywhere, people calling me white.
Oh, I know, eh? And, like, you just see all our cousins just walk out there. Yeah, they've got gumboots, or you're in your bare feet, and they're on the tar seal roads. Hey, like it's nothing to them. Oh, I'm looking at it going, oh, has anyone seen my shoes?
But so Francis is from Pōringa. You're from Te Hapua? No, you're way up north, eh?
Almost. I'm from Kaitaia, but my father is from Whangape, just across the harbour.
Yeah.
And he's from Awanui as well, from Ngai Takoto. His mother's from Ngai Takoto. So he's buried in Awanui next to his mum.
Oh,
yeah.
Awanui. I'm just trying to... Oh, yeah, that's where I was conceived, apparently.
Oh, lovely.
We have so many... we're whānau, basically.
We're whānau, cousin. Hey, oh, hey, yeah, yeah. Hey. Kia ora, cuz.
Give me a cheap casket. No. So how do you... You meet Francis, you have all these kids. When's the moment when he goes, dear, should we start a funeral service business, dear?
Oh, it's so funny you say that. We were kaiako, we were teachers up in Kaitaia. We just had my firstborn, Nikura, and must have been about 9 months on, he comes home, you know, I come home from Kohanga, getting the dinner ready, putting out the washing, and he's like, I've got a great idea. Look, we're going to start our own funeral business. And I'm thinking, okay, he's, you know, going through one of those tiny phases where it's going to work type thing. Hmm. So I'm still hanging out the washing. I said, oh, no problem, darling. Oh, it's probably not even going to work, but... Well, I kid you not, it was probably... 2 to 3 weeks later, he says, okay, we're moving down to Auckland at the end of the month. And I went, oh, what? What's going on? And he goes, oh, I've got my new job at a funeral home.
Yeah.
And you're working with Whaia Pōnati at the kura. And I went, what? Are you for real? And he goes, yes, 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 I've got to start this May. Remember, we need to start our new business. And I'm, well, he awesome. Did not muck around. Him being so passionate about the funeral industry at the time, I supported him, because I was actually the one that was still living in that sort of realm of tapu. Like, if you come home, you've got all this tapu and this around you. I was just grateful at the time we had this garage where he could. Connected into the house, so he needed to go in there. I had a bucket of water.
Yeah.
I kid you not, there was a bucket of water and a spare hanger for his suit clothes, and he had to just strip down and wash himself in there before he came into the house. And he had to leave all his kākahu in the garage.
So the tapu didn't follow him, as you believed. Did he have to learn how to be, like, how do you learn how to be a funeral director?
That's it. So he was given that opportunity. You had to seek... mahi in the industry, of course, and it's something that definitely is not going to come to you within 24 hours. Look, I've got kaimahi now that have been with us for maybe 8 years, 9 years.
And they're employees.
And they still are learning. Even myself, we're still learning. There's always going to be something new with every whānau every day, so... Yes, we can do our best to equip ourselves with the knowledge.
So you trusted him, you went with his vision, and then you get your own business eventually.
Yeah.
And it seems like you're most of the
business.
Well, that's what it looks like on TV. That he's off buying chandeliers and artwork and leaf blowers, and you're like, honey, darling, stop spending money, darling.
Oh, man. Did you see that episode where he bought that wrecked car, the van?
Yeah.
And actually, there were probably a few episodes where he bought it.
Yeah, he's always buying something and it's coming from overseas, and and then he pays someone to come and put it up or do this or do that. And
it's amazing, like, it's just sometimes some things will unravel in front of me as I'm watching the show and I'm like, I don't remember you getting that. or he'll, as soon as something new comes on, he knows it's, you know, he'll just quickly leave out of the room to avoid the conversation, of course. So,
I love that you guys are so, you trust him and he trusts you. And now you've got this huge business. You've got one in Porirua?
Porirua.
And anywhere else?
Kahore, kahore.
And when you first saw Tupapaku?
Yeah, Tupapaku.
Tupapaku. What was your feeling around that? Because you had to spend a lot of time with your first deceased person. Did you just get on with it?
I tried.
Mm.
It's not, you know, for anyone that's entering the industry for the first time, you will find some challenges.
Mm-hmm.
The challenges, because, I mean, look, it doesn't help. You've probably watched tons of movies, horrors and whatnot, and say you've got that in your mind thinking they're going to wake up. But no, they stay ever so peacefully laying there. But to overcome that fear, because, as I said, my husband was in this industry, and he was at my, I hadn't seen him for so long. He rings me up one night and he says, look, darling, I'm stuffed. Can you please come and help me? And I was just grateful that I had my sister with us at the time. She was able to look after our tamariki. And I went in, it must have been just after midnight. And I go into Mahi and he's like, look, I've got to have this tupapaku ready and dressing is at 2. And I said, in the morning, because they need to go home back up north at 6 o'clock in the morning, so let's help
Paya
them.
Now.
Yeah. So I could understand that. So as I'm entering this room for the first time and about to assist them with the tupapaku, I'm like, oh, goodness me, it's cold. Yes, it's cold. But to overcome those fears, there's a fire here that needs to return back to her whānau. And she needs the afi to go back to them. And that's what I need to remember, is afi, them. Mm-hmm. And then she's laying peacefully, the whānau come in, they're about to dress, and they're crying, and you help them through that process of dressing. Once that completes, and you've placed them in their moinga, and you've beautified them, you've put on that beautiful makeup, you know, given them those final touches, the whānau come back into the room, and they start crying to you, and they tell you, oh, my mum looks so beautiful, thank you so much. And it's that feedback there that you go, wow, I've helped this whānau, I've helped this mum, and I'm ready to do it again. So it's through that I was able to overcome all those, you know, weird thoughts.
Scary.
Yeah.
They're going to open their eyes. They're going to turn into a dragon. I had that with my first brush with death was my granddad at 5, and we were told to go and give him a kiss, and I would not go near him. I've been scared of dead people for as long as I can remember, but 27, my dad passes away, and they said, died of lung cancer. They said, do you want to dress him? I was like, I don't want to go near him, because I didn't understand or know what to do. I was so scared. Wouldn't touch him. Mm. I loved him. Mm. I adored him, and we had his tangi up in Ohaki. You know, we went up there, went on the marae. I stayed next to him, but I would not be in the room alone with him. I was petrified of him. Because my heart was breaking, but I was also like, oh, you know, it was
it felt surreal. Mm-hmm. So when we would sleep, I'd put my brother next to him, mm-hmm. his partner, then my mum, then me, and then all my friends at his feet. And I'd be like, okay, no, no. Like, we're all scared. And then I'll be like, at night time, like, is he going to haunt me? Because he's come back to me quite a few times since he passed. Wow. The thing that snapped me out of it was when they started to put the lid on the coffin.
Yeah.
That's what snapped me out. And then I was like, and I did the well, and I was like touching him, and I was like, oh, he feels like stone, but I don't want him to leave him. I don't want him to leave. So that's what snapped me out of being scared, because I realised in that moment I was never going to see my father's body again. Mm. And since then I've struggled, but I've just been really like you, just present for people, helping people and trying to understand death more. Yes. Yeah.
Wow.
That's my story about my dad.
That's beautiful. Like, through your dad's loss, are you able to attend other tangi and be...
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, present as. Like, yeah, I go visit my dad all the time and talk to him, and then I've, you know, been back to Ōhaki for a...
Nice.
For tangi,
yeah.
And I'm right there, I'm kissing them, I got over my fear in that one moment. But you know when you're born in your own rural community or on a marae, and you're used to that.
Yes,
I'm from Christchurch. They have closed coffins down, you know, Pākehā funerals.
Yeah,
but that leads me to my next question.
Okay,
because you get a lot of Māori, Pasifika, Tongan. Whānau come through your business. Mm-hmm. Do you get a lot of Pākehā, and do you teach them about the tikanga? Do you try and persuade them to acknowledge a more Māori way of tangi?
Mm, beautiful. I love that question. Yes, we have. Actually, I'd say there's a good 40% of our mahi that are Pākehā whānau.
Mm-hmm.
And... What I've noticed in these past years is Pākehā are wanting to adopt our tikanga ways. And with the ones who have engaged in our services, they do ask, they're like, you know, when we transfer their loved one back home, and before we get inside, the auntie will run out and says, I've got this photo. Where do I put it, though? Do I put it... on the wall, or do I put it? Where would you usually put it? Oh, anyway, but look, I've seen that we can put it on the wall. And in that moment, I'm thinking, are they wanting to practice some? Yeah, practice some tikanga on this. So I said, well, traditionally for us as Māori, we'll put it on the wall.
Mm-hmm.
At the top of the head. Where the tupapaku will lay, otherwise you can place it at feet, right at the bottom. And then they're like, oh, okay, give me a moment. But I'm thinking, we're outside with the casket. You wouldn't do this right now. And I'm like, Whaiwhai, come. Stand over here by me, we'll go on together. They're like, okay, yeah, no problem. Don't. We'll come on together and we'll place it inside as we get in. So it's there where they're asking, like, okay, is it okay to eat in the same room as the tupapaku? Can we, what do we do when the kitchen is just over here and the tupapaku is here? So
put up a tarpaulin
or sheet, so that there is some sort of barrier between the tupapaku and the kai.
Mm-hmm.
And these are questions that Pākehā are asking me. And they're wanting to embrace these tikanga ways. It's something when you get inside, and I'm like, okay, as Māori, this is what we'll do. Fine. Though it hasn't been said, can we do it your way? They want to acknowledge that in their way of grieving.
And do you see that important to the way that you work? Like, or, you know, most funeral directors get given directions as to how the person wants to, you know, do the proceedings. But do you feel that strongly in with your tikanga Māori? Like, you would like to actually practice that more and give that gift of that to all cultures?
Absolutely. Look, we, as Māori, we love to stay with our tūpapaku, mm-hmm. eh? We go with them everywhere.
It's healing.
It's healing. And even from the time of when they've passed, we'd go through, we'd uplift, and we some whānau want to go back home, get the whare ready, mm-hmm. get their kākahu and come in, and then there's some that are adamant, no, I need to stay with mum. Mm-hmm. Can I follow through? Come through. And that's where Pākehā wanting to be more present.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them didn't even know that they were allowed to dress their loved one. So you give them that opportunity and say, oh, are you coming through to dress mum today? And they're like, are we allowed to?
What a gift.
Yeah, of course you can. This is your mum. You bring her clothes and we'll do it together.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, wow, okay, cool. Well, we can come in. So it's they're more engaging with their loved ones now. And yes, there are some Pākehā that would prefer to just go, here's the clothes. I'll come see mum another day.
Close the coffin.
Yes.
Let's go.
And catch up, Waitera. Do you mind if I have a waiata with mum while I wait with her until you come? Like, yeah, no problem. Okay. Cool.
You're the whole service.
There we go, yeah. What are we singing today, Fire? What would you like? Not that I'm a great guitarist. Yeah.
I'm going to ask you a weird question. Two weird questions. Where do you think the spirit goes once someone passes?
Mm.
What are your beliefs around that?
Culturally, our wairua returns to Hawaii Kinui, right? Since being in the industry,
mm-hmm.
I feel that their presence is still with us. And it's beautiful when you can feel that.
Mm-hmm.
And so we, you know, I love to talk to the tūpapaku. I love talking to them,
yeah.
Like they're still with us. So putting on the lipstick, and then if I hear something move, some type of, I don't know, something fall. And I'm looking at it, I'm going, oh, you didn't like that lipstick, eh? Okay, kids, bye.
Sure, so you're watching all the signs, right?
Oh, watching, listening, feeling.
And that's book flying across the room.
I don't have my fire cat. I'll take those curls out. You don't like the curls. Yeah. But I'll get straighten it.
Is this what it is, though? Like, do you believe in ghosts and poltergeists? And
oh, when I am hearing those types of noises around me, then yes. If I'm more of a feeler, eh?
Mm.
I love to feel what's around me. And
I wonder if you're a psychic.
Oh.
Can you see, is my dad here? Because if he's here, he's checking you out. Sure. He was a hoe. He was. Well, you know, takes one to know one. But he'd be sitting there going, kia ora, fire. Ooh, she pretty.
Sorry, but do you like my hair this way?
I don't mind either way. Get rid of that guy, Francis. Yeah, he was a funny guy.
No, but I heard that your papa could sing as well.
And play the guitar.
There we go.
Yeah, and he had a really wild sense of humour. Like he was, but he also had a very bad temper as well. You know those Northland men.
That sounds so much like a lot from Pōringa.
It's an interesting place spiritually. That's how I feel when I go there. And I know my tipuna are all around me up there.
Yeah.
Like it's real strong, eh? The forces, the wairua is strong.
Yeah.
Whew. Okay. So have you had any incidents at your work where, you know, you've felt the shiver, cold shiver, or you've seen something flying or... I have to ask.
I know, not yet. Like, I'm waiting. I am waiting. And I'm just, I've heard the door slam, but then it's because somebody left the garage door open.
Mm.
So, I'm waiting for that moment where something's just going to, like, hit me. But it hasn't.
Hasn't?
No.
Okay.
May have hit my husband. Yeah.
Imagine a naughty ghost who's just getting all the leaves, putting them everywhere, dropping things, so he gets real paranoid about it, you know, like has to clean. He's a clean freak, man.
Oh, when he starts cleaning, I just kind of pop out of the room.
That's good for you, because then you don't have to clean.
It's lovely. It's so lovely. Yeah.
Okay, I've got another weird question for you, or an out there question. I've always been taught that when you're on an urupa, if you've got your mate, your period, you can't enter.
Yes.
Is that true? And how do you deal with it with your staff if one of, you know, if it's their time of month and you need to be at the urupa?
That's a good question. There, some hapu do have that in place. And then, you know, with some hapu don't, so you're safe to...
Okay, so it's not for everyone.
It's not for everyone. Like, I haven't... We are warned prior to entering the urupa. Like, there are nannies there, and the kaumātua kuia will inform us, or definitely our kuia will inform us if we're about to enter the urupa. This is the tikanga.
Yeah.
But we here in Tāmaki, I haven't come across any of that just yet.
Mm-hmm.
But the staff are very respectful when it comes to rules or tikanga or guidelines around having your period.
And why? Maybe. Why is that a tikanga?
It's almost like
asking for a friend.
That's probably a question that I'm still trying to answer myself. There's the period where, oh sorry, not the period. There's the time when you do have a period. Engaging with tupapaku is somewhat tapu, so there are only certain things outside of that, around that, that you can do. And for me, it's. As you as a wahine are tapu yourself, and you still need to complete that before afi the tupapaku.
So I wish it was tapu to go to work when you got your period. I got my period now.
Damn, I'm so sore. Still come to work.
Oh. Yeah.
Damn, it's not tapu.
So you're around death all the time.
Mm-hmm.
How do you deal with your own mental health and your spirituality and your mamai?
Because
I've seen the episode with the beautiful Pepe who passed away, and I saw all of those tears.
Mm.
How do you do it? How do you prepare? How do you heal?
Mm. I go home and I shut the door and lock it. And to stay there for a little bit. No, look, I do have my moments when I do that. But I tell you what I really appreciate is every morning is my tāne gives me some space for me to, once all the tamariki are at kura, I have at least an hour or two to go get me my morning moka and go somewhere.
Without Pepe?
Without Pepe.
Oh,
I know. Lovely. But then I'd like, oh, actually, I think
I'll need
a
husband. Yeah, because you miss her, eh?
I do.
Moki moki.
Yeah, I do. I do get into those spaces where I do moki moki, but not far from Mahi, there's a little reserve, the Onehunga Reserve there, and so I like to go there, and it's a nice little bay to have a moment. And then I regroup myself and go back to work.
Yeah.
There's that space there. But then there's also, I do love to have my venting with my tāne or my debrief. Mm-hmm. And him and I just hug it out. We hug it out, especially with our baby situations or our tamariki. You know, I go home and I just want to hug them so much. And I feel aroha for my tamariki as well, because, you know, when you do come across situations where it could be an accident that's happened, I poor Tamariki can't even go on a bike anymore because I'm like, you know, I've seen that. No, don't even play with the ball. Leave the ball.
Yeah. So what you've seen has been reflective in your parenting with your children.
I feel aroha for them, but look, they can. They're my boys. They're boys. Oh, they'll find they've got lots of things to do at home anyway. So
play PS5 more like it.
Oh, God! Back in the days, I wish we could afford one of those, but yeah.
Do you have any tricky customers? You know, like. Because everyone's vulnerable, you know, and sometimes vulnerability can turn to anger, and then all of a sudden there's someone shouting at you and big emotions. How do you deal with that?
Oh, man, the works, eh? We've had the works. The walls of our funeral home could talk, man. I have had a chair thrown across the room in front of me. I've had a fist smash through the wall of our funeral home. And in those moments, you get frustrated at them, but at the same time, you can't because that's Pody. That's Mamai, and they do need a space to let it out. And there's so much happening for them at the time, which I understand.
Mm-hmm.
But heck, once they've grouped back, bruh, fix my wall.
Yeah, or add it to the bill.
Yeah.
Put it on the invoice.
My chair. So they're like, sorry, I'm so sorry. They do. They feel really bad about what they've done.
Of course.
So in those moments, you just got to let them be until later on. It's so funny. We do get lots of strange requests.
What like? Are you allowed to talk about it? Or?
Yeah, of course.
What What could a strange request be?
I was doing an arrangement one day, and you know, this matua, his wife had already passed, and the children had asked, because now Dad's passed away, children had asked, they're like, look, Dad, if it's possible, Dad wants to be buried sort of upside down. Can we?
On top. In the same casket.
In the same hole as Mum, the same burial plot as Mum. I'm like, oh, okay.
So how does that work?
I'm not sure if the Utapa will let us do that, but I could always ask them if you want to. So what's the whakaro behind that, whānau, can I ask? Oh, our Dad, you know, he's very funny. He believes that he could go with her all the way to heaven.
Oh, well.
So I'm like,
what a sense of humour.
Yeah, it was a pretty hard case.
Did it happen?
Kahore, no. No, the Urupa would not for this one.
Oh, stink.
I have to do my mahi and just still ask anyway. And yep. The cemetery were laughing about it. Are you for real, Kaora? Yes, I know I am, but I'm putting it in writing just to make sure I did ask you. And you have to say no if it's not allowed. So I can tell the whānau, please. They start ringing me. Oh my gosh, is that for?
Can't he just get buried next to her?
Yes. Well, I did give him all those options.
Yeah.
Next to her, on this plot or that plot, or even on top. You know,
casket. Yeah. Done. That's good. You can still do the riding to heaven thing, just not touching.
At the same funeral, this whānau had asked, Dad wanted to play Staying Alive by the Bee Gees as you're walking him out.
Staying alive.
Yes. But this family, they were so funny, honestly. They were so funny. I'll remember them.
Have you had Another One Bites the Dust yet?
Oh, yes, I have heard that one. Sorry, but
Another One Bites the Dust.
Well, that was played at the Urupa, that song.
That's a good sense of humour. I've got a bloody, 20 Spotify playlist for my tangi. Like, I want every single song I've ever loved in the world to be sung or played. I want music constantly. I want a party.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm coming to your party.
You're coming.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I'll book in with you. Are you free 2052? Your job is 24/7. Mm-hmm. You've got a whānau, you've got tamariki. How do you balance the life, you know, getting a call at 2 a.m. in the morning?
Yes.
How do you do that?
It was a struggle at first between my tāne and I. It was a struggle. But we've got these people called kaimahi now. And we've got this thing called roster.
Sure,
so now I can let things go just a little bit.
Yeah, sleeping.
Yeah, I can. I've been able to have babies because of my kaimahi.
Yeah, yeah.
But look, you're right, it's not your typical 9-to-5 mahi. It is a 24-hour service, and I have personally made myself available to everyone. So when I do get a particular request, like staff will say, oh, it's your auntie, are you able to look after them? Everyone's my auntie.
Or cousin.
Which auntie is this one? Oh, look, it's so-and-so. I'm like, oh, this is auntie. Okay, I'll get in touch with her. And it could be any time of the night. So I do have that balance around when I can make myself available or not. And I do. I ring my whānau and they're very understanding, especially now that I have a baby, they're understanding, they know they can trust the kaimahi. So, yeah.
Do they have, sorry, one more question. Do they have, you know, there's this thing about being buried under a tree like this?
Oh, yeah.
Like this?
Yes.
And like no
is
coffin?
It growing? Yeah.
Have you had one of those yet? Or is that another company? Do you do that? Under a tree, just to help the soil.
Yeah. Oh, I haven't quite had that request just yet.
Well, 2053.
Yeah.
Why am I saying 2053? I'll probably die way before then. Do you spend a lot of time thinking about death?
So funny, eh? My mahi is 24/7. But I don't spend a lot of time thinking about death. Though I have had conversations with my tāne about what casket I want when I pass away and what casket he wants when he passes away.
Yeah,
want
a flash one. With his vacuum cleaner buried with him.
And so we kind of like, then we go through moments of, okay, if I die first, then I'll get cremated. Or if you die first, you're going to get cremated. And then, you know, these are the questions that we're having.
Well, you have to, right? You'd be foolish not to think about all of that and have a will and all that kind of thing, because this is your business, right?
That's right. And then I said to him, look, our tamariki are getting older. You might want to include them in this conversation, see what they mm-hmm. want for mum or for yourself. And it does. It just kind of scratch our head. But when I'm deeply thinking about death, if I can say it like that, I worry about my tamariki and what future lies ahead for them without their mum. Because
mm-hmm.
I like to believe that every child needs their mother. Oh, they do. They need their dad.
They don't need their dad. I didn't need a dad.
Well, that's right. I lost my dad when I was 10, so I think I turned out all right.
Yeah.
And I feel just they need that mother touch in their lives. And it's just my fear around what life would be like without their mum.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's the exact same thing that I fear for my children if I die. And, you know, having a will, getting a will together is so confronting because it's like, oh, you have to actually, legally, you have to share all your money between all your kids.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I was just going to give it to one of them. My favourite. No, just joking. Just joking, kids. Gosh. So what has your job taught you about life and living?
To not take any moment for granted and just embrace it as much as you can. Even like, you know, my tāne, I felt I nearly lost him 1 year. And as he went through those theatre doors, oh, man, I was praying to have him I'd have him back in a heartbeat. His farts and all. You know? His complaining.
His pies.
His pies. His spending raids, whatever it is. I was just give him back to me. And
they did, and you had to wheel him around for weeks.
Oh, that was horrible.
You'd be like, I'll take him back.
I did get that way. I was like, oh, be careful what you pay for. Pray for. Goodness. So
that's right.
But if there's anything for what life is or death has taught me, it is to not take those moments for granted. Look, we have every year, whatever age we're turning, you know. Before I used to think, okay, 21 was a milestone age to celebrate.
Mm.
But when we see tamariki passing away at young ages, or even us as young mamas at whatever age we're at, you just celebrate your birthday with any loved one. Yeah.
Chu kare.
Yeah.
I like your words. You're Thank clever.
You. I love your words.
Shut up, please.
Thanks so much for listening to It's Personal with me, Anika Moa. Ngā mihi te kai ora tipene. Your mahi is so important and I'm so grateful you could share some time to sit with me.
And can I book in for 20-something or other?
Also to the team that helps make this happen, Charlotte Purdy and Vanessa Hawken from Rogue Productions, Tim Watkin and Liz Garten from RNZ, and our audio engineers Blair Stagpole and Adrian Holley. Cole Easton-Farrelly is a video editor, and thanks to Jane Joyce for graphics and Brianna Juritich for production support. It's Personal with Anika Moa is available on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you find your podcasts. Don't forget to follow so you don't miss an episode.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.